If everybody take their seats, I think we're going to get started here just right away. It's 1:30, and come on in, take your seat, and we'll get going. Turn the volume up. I'm going to need some techno, man, that's a short mic. How's that? On behalf of the officers, I want to welcome everyone to the Spring Board Directors Meeting. We're pleased that you're with us today at our 142nd Cattle Raisers Convention and Expo. Luther King Capital Management is a sponsor of this Board of Directors meeting. Luther King Capital Management is also our investment advisor, and we certainly appreciate their continued support. Please join me in showing sincere appreciation to Luther King. At this time, we're going to have James Oliver come up and lead us in an invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay. Good afternoon. Would you please bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity for this community to come together today. We thank you for the trials and the triumphs of the past year, for it's in these times that we find our true friends and family. We thank you for those who have gone before us and ask that you help us live up to their example. Lord, please bless those that are suffering and in need, and we ask a special blessing on our friends and colleagues in the Midwest. Please continue to give guidance and wisdom to our leaders and patience and perseverance to us. Please help us to all travel home safely, and it's in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? We don't have a flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Very nice. Appreciate it. Thank you. I'm going to now ask Arthur Uhl to come up to conduct some business.
What's that?
All right.
Thank you, Bobby. First order of business are the minutes and executive committee actions. The first item of business is consideration of the minutes from our last meeting. Is there a motion to accept the minutes of the Board of Directors meeting held September 21st, 2018 in Lost Pines as contained in the transcript from the recording of that meeting? Hearing a motion and second, all in favor say aye. Any opposed? The motion passes. Next, we need to approve the actions of the Executive Committee. Is there a motion to approve the actions of the Executive Committee since the September 21st, 2018 Board of Directors meeting in Lost Pines? Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye. Any opposed? The motion passes. Next, I'd like to move on to the membership report. Let's take action to accept new members. Is there a motion to accept 759 new members, rendering 56,675 heads whose applications have been received since our last meeting in Lost Pines? So moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes. Membership as of December 31st, 2018 was 17,742 members. We finished 2018 relatively flat since the first of the year. However, we did maintain a 90% renewal rate and are off to a good start in 2019, gaining 150 members in January. Next, I'll move on to for consideration of amendments to our bylaws and policies and procedures. Bobby appointed a bylaws review committee consisting of Leslie Kinsel, Joe Parker, Clayton Henry, and chaired by myself. We worked with the officers, staff, and outside counsel to develop these proposed amendments. These amendments were mailed to you in anticipation of this meeting. The primary reason for the amendments to the bylaws and policies and procedures is to bring them into compliance with current law, as well as to add the chairman of our new Finance and Audit Committee, Ken Leiber, as a voting member of the Executive Committee. These notice amendments to the policies and procedures also raise the TSCRA member dues. Our last membership dues increase was in 2016. If adopted, this dues increase will go into effect June 1st, 2019, and for the majority of our members will result in a dues increase of $10 per year. We feel that given the increasing scope and cost of services we are working on to serve and benefit our members, a small dues increase is necessary to be able to continue to provide the level of services which our members are accustomed to. Is there a motion to approve the amendments to the bylaws and the policies and procedures as presented? So moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes. Thank you. All right. There you go.
Yep. Very good. Thank you, Arthur. We've got a few introductions and recognitions. We have a number of special guests with us at the convention for the next few days, and I'd like to recognize them. We've got Jennifer Houston, president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Chuck Coffey, chairman, Cattlemen's Beef Board, Kendall Frazier, CEO, National Cattlemen's Beef Association. We have John Means, Region 4 Vice President, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Ross Wilson, President and CEO of the Texas Cattle Feeders, Jesse Carver, Executive Director, Livestock Marketing Association of Texas, Richard Wortham, Executive Vice President, Texas Beef Council, Dr. Patrick Stover, Vice Chancellor and Dean, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, Texas A&M, Bill Brown, Dean of Texas Tech College of Agriculture and Natural Resources, Greg Haynes, Vice President of International Marketing Programs, U.S. Meat Export Federation, Debbie Gill, President of the Texas Cattlewomen, Matt Teagarden, CEO, Kansas Livestock Association, Tom Sidwell, President, New Mexico Cattle Growers Association, David Yates, CEO, Texas Wildlife Association, Brad Barnes, President and General Manager of the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo, Andy Schwartz, Executive Director, Texas Animal Health Commission, Salvador Salinas, State Conservationist, NRCS, Tom Bogus, State Forester and Director of the Texas Forest Service, Rex Ism, Executive Director, Texas Soil and Water Conservation Board, Blair Fitzsimmons, CEO, Texas Agricultural Land Trust, Kerry Cornelius, Director, TCU Ranch Management, Clay Mathis, Director, King Ranch Institute for Ranch Management, Dr. Cliff Lamb, Head of the Department of Animal Science, Texas A&M University, Dr. Lance Keith, Department Head, Agriculture Education, West Texas A&M University, Jim Brett Campbell, Executive Director of the National Ranching Heritage Center. Please join me and express appreciation for these folks joining us. At this time, we're going to have a special recognition. As many of you know, last year, Eldon White retired after nearly 12 years of service to TSCRA as Executive Vice President and CEO. Eldon did an outstanding job helping lead TSCRA during that time, and TSCRA is grateful for his service. And I can tell you, at the time when Eldon arrived here, this association was needing help, and Eldon was the right guy in the right place and really took us to a level to where we can take it to the next level. He did so much good for this organization, developed a lot of structure for us, and I just can't say enough about Eldon. And I know after working with him for 4 years, I haven't been around anyone with a skill set like Eldon's. It's diverse, and he's very thorough, he's very organized, and he has done a lot for this association. With that said, I would like Eldon and his wife Val, and I know some of his family are here, for them to come up and say a few words, and we've got a few things that we're going to present Eldon. With them, there they come, there they are. Okay, great.
that. Yeah.
You want to make sure the presentation? Go ahead and see if you want to. Okay. Scott.
All right. Well, I'm not really prepared to make any comments, and they were just saying that I've never been had a loss of words, and so I was actually reflecting this morning on 12 years ago. Oh, Kylie, watch it. She always wants to be front and center. I was reflecting a little bit 12 years ago. It was in this room that the announcement was made that I was to be the CEO of the organization, And that morning, I don't really put a lot of credence into horoscopes. For those of you that do, I apologize. But that morning in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, my horoscope said that I'm about to embark on a risky venture, but that the long-term rewards would be great. And I'd have to say that it has been quite a ride. I've dealt with, came right into Hurricane Ike, and then Hurricane, of course, Harvey. We had the wildfires in Montague County, and then the wildfires in Far West Texas, and then the wildfires up in the Panhandle. And we had the Blizzard Goliath, and I had Pete Bonds as president for 3 years, and we survived them all. And it's been a great ride, and I appreciate it, every minute of it. Thank you so much for your friendship.
Awesome, Evan. At this time, do I need to present the title? As you can see, we've got a saddle here, and that is a small token of our appreciation to Eldon for all the hard work he did. And again, Eldon, we can't thank you enough. We're here today because of Eldon, and I just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
And appreciate Val, too.
Yeah. And I should have introduced my daughter.
Ah, okay. Here we go.
So I should have introduced my daughter. It's my daughter, Kelly, and Kylie, our 2.5-year-old. The older one is at school right now, Zoe, and we're expecting a little boy in June.
While they're doing that, I want to announce to everyone that we've put together a journal, a thank you journal, for all of you to sign in your appreciation for what Eldon's done and the ways that he's helped you from 2007 to through 2018. I'm going to be right down here in front, so please come by and sign your name in the journal or put a message in there of thanks to Eldon for what all he's done. And I'll also be out in the hall and then in the trade show later on, and I'll keep it until Sunday, and I'll give it to Eldon. So thank you very much.
If you don't mind, let's thank Eldon one more time for a job well done. At this time, I want to ask Jim Brett Campbell to come up to make an announcement.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Jim Brett Campbell. I get the privilege of serving as the executive director of the National Ranching Heritage Center and the Ranching Heritage Association. And since 1974, when the first National Golden Spur Award was given to Albert Mitchell, the National Golden Spur Award has been given to an outstanding individual who has made significant contributions to our industry, and it resounds with a whole line of names of men and women who have made significant contributions to our industry and making sure that it continues to move forward. The Golden Spur Award is not just given by the Ranching Heritage Association and the Ranching Heritage Center. It's actually a great partnership between the Ranching Heritage Association, the National Cattlemen's Beef Foundation, Texas Cattle Feeders, American Quarter Horse Association, Texas Farm Bureau, and of course, Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers. It is an important partnership that helps to bring our entire industry together and recognize those folks who have made our industry work. As part of that, our role is at the Ranching Heritage Center is to tell the story of ranching here in North America west of the Mississippi, and we do that through our 50-acre historical park and more than 50 historic ranching structures that have been moved from all across the West to our campus there in Lubbock, Texas. And so if you haven't, I hope you'll make time to come and join us one of these days at the National Ranching Heritage Center. A great opportunity will be this September 21st when we recognize the next recipient of the National Golden Spur Award. And it's my privilege to get to make that announcement today through our partnership with Cattle Raisers. And Bobby, we thank y'all for all your support and all that y'all do to make this award work. But it's my privilege this afternoon to recognize the 2019 recipient of the National Golden Spur Award. He's a fifth-generation rancher whose family has had a cattle company for over 140 years. They run a diversified cattle operation and hunting operation. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to recognize somebody who has served as the president of Cattle Raisers, president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and the recipient of the 2019 National Golden Spur Award will be Mr. Bob McCann.
He doesn't know.
So again, we'll gather up to recognize Bob. Bob, I hope you're available September 21st. And please come join us in Lubbock for this special recipient. We'll also be recognizing a new award, the Working Cowboy Award that Boots O'Neill received this last year. So we'll hope you'll be joining us for both of those great events. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. Very much, yes.
Thank you, Jim, Brett, and Bob. Congratulations. Well deserved. Thank you. Lastly, I'd like to recognize our friends at the Texas Agricultural Land Trust. TALT recently earned reaccreditation from the National Land Trust Accreditation Commission. This accreditation is a gold standard for land trusts nationwide. So congratulations to TALT. Please help me congratulate Blair Fitzsimmons, James Oliver, and the rest of TALT leadership. Now it's time for a quick president's report. I just got a quick report on our activities. In 2018, the Rangers recovered nearly $4 million worth of livestock and ranch-related property. They've investigated 522 cases, totaling over 6,600 head of livestock. This has resulted in 16 convictions and 95 years of sentencing. 2018 also included many large and complex investigations that are still ongoing, probably to be settled this year, but they continue to do good work. Our market inspectors inspected over 3.6 million, to be exact, head of cattle and over 100 Texas auction markets. We're also making excellent progress on a project to transition to an electronic market inspection system. This will greatly enhance the Ranger's ability to access records and operate more at the speed of commerce. It's going to be a great tool for our guys. Scott Williamson and his team are working to update radio communication and field equipment, such as ballistic body armor and crime scene kits for each Special Ranger. They have received a great response so far in raising over $300,000 to accomplish this, and are anxiously awaiting a response to a grant application to the Houston 100 Club for 5 radios, 5 ballistic body armor, totaling $55,000. We will be discussing the latest on this effort in more detail tomorrow in one of our sessions. I can tell you on another front, we're at war to protect our private property rights. This has been a long and expensive effort, but we must keep up the fight. We're optimistic that we will get legislation passed to provide more transparency, accountability, and fairness to a broken system, but it's going to take all of us, and I can't reiterate that strong enough, it's going to take all of us to keep contacting our state representatives to make sure they hear our voice, and they will hear it, but we have to contact them. We're also staying very active with NCBA, keeping a close eye on many things going on in Washington, international trade, fake meat, especially with the new leadership in the House. In fact, there's a group of us heading up there directly after this conference. We're heading to Washington, D.C. As Arthur noted, thanks to a lot of hard work by Kelly Sullivan and Cody Fry and the rest of the AP committee, we maintain a really good renewal rate for 2018 and are off to an excellent start so far here at the first part of the year. In 2018, we had 28 ranch gatherings, and with over 3,000 attendees and 250 new members signing up, we had 3 BQA programs, 12 ranching 101 classes, 1 law enforcement field day, and 3 Cattle Facts Outlook seminars. We've got a lot of good events planned for 2019, certainly starting with this convention, but we will continue to work with the AP and the TSCRA staff to continue to grow the membership. We're also excited about the release of our new membership database later this year and some new marketing efforts that are in the planning stages. This is going to certainly assist our current members, and it will help with recruitment of new members as we continue to grow. Michelle Woodham and the insurance company continue to do a great job. They wrote 95 new group medical policies in 2018, which resulted in over $1.9 million in additional premiums, as well as 69 new individual policies with annual premiums in excess of $400,000. I'm glad to report that thanks to the hard work of Michelle and her staff, there will be no increase in the association health insurance plan this year, and that new commission revenues between the group and the individual policy sold in 18 was in excess of $100,000. That's really all I have for now. Are there any questions? Hearing none at this time, we're going to hear some reports, and I'd like to start with Cody Webb. He's going to give a brief report on the activities of the Young Leadership Series. Cody?
Brief will be the key word here. We finished a really good set of meetings for YLS in 2018, and we look to continue that in 2019. The first meeting on the schedule is the legislative session in Austin, April 17th and 18th. As you know, more and more people are elected every year with no agricultural background, so it's important that we get down there and learn how to speak to these people and learn what the issues are. They work for us, not the other way around, so let's get down there and put it to them. We also met yesterday and did our YCC selections for the year. The candidates for this year, or I guess selections for this year, were Clint Moore, Patrick Dudley, and Hunter Crow. So if you see them, give them a congratulations. They're in for a good time, and I think we've made a really good selection, and they're going to represent us very well. Right now, the only scheduled YLS event is the legislative session in Austin, but we're looking to develop some really engaging and fun, interesting activities for the rest of the year. So if you have any questions, please find me. I'm happy to talk to you. Thanks.
Excellent, Cody. Thank you. Thank you, Cody. Now we'd like to hear from Kelly Sullivan, who is chair of our Association Promotion Committee.
Good afternoon, everyone. As you all heard, the membership report that Bobby gave and Arthur also detailed, we had a very good year last year. Actually, we're off to a great start this year. As you all know, we were in a great deal of transition with regard to the association right now, and the thing that we're looking forward to the most is having the new membership portal. It's going to be released at the end of this year, and I think is going to make a tremendous impact, not only for new members, but for our current members to even renew their memberships. I was always taught the least expensive customer to keep is a current one, and we need to give our current customers, our members, the ability to renew their memberships seamlessly. And so this new system is going to allow them to do that. We saw that our renewal rate was really, really excellent for the year. So what I'm excited about, though, is that January started off so strongly with 127 new members. So with that being said, I'd actually like to invite Jason Harlow up. You all know that last year at summer meeting, we conducted a membership drive, so to speak, for the members of our Association Promotion Committee and RAP team. And unfortunately, I think the boots are on their way from Mercedes, but Jason, actually, they're on their way. They're on their way. Well, perfect. But I wanted to come up, ask Jason to come up and just say a couple of words. Jason did a fantastic job alone just during our contest period by recruiting 14 new members. And Jason, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I really actually wanted to ask Jason what it was, how were you able to ask these people to just become a member of Cattle Raisers? I mean, what
the motivation?
What's the motivation? Well, new pair
was
of
it
boots.
The boots or the riding for the brand, I think?
I think the riding for the brand.
Absolutely. I think, and I've heard this from other members, I think there's so many cattle people out there in the state that have just never been asked.
Yep.
You kind of assume, and I think if you, you know, get out the hot shot, they just want to be asked, that's what I found.
And with 14 new members in a 60-day period, that's pretty outstanding. So, again, congratulations. You deserve this new pair of boots.
Well,
just wish
y'all.
We could all see them.
And thank you, Trainer. From
Trainer Evans with Riosa Mercedes was generous enough to donate the boots. And so we really appreciate it. I don't know if Trainer's here or not.
He's
10 minutes
right
away. Okay, well, maybe we'll get to see those boots here pretty soon. So
okay.
Thank you again. Congratulations.
All right, thank you.
So in my last article, because this is going to be my last report as chairman of the Association Promotion Committee, I actually received some really very nice messages from many of you after my last article in the Cattleman magazine. And in that article, I actually challenged all of us as directors. As we all know, our goal is to reach 20,000 members by 2020. And we're knocking on the door here pretty soon. And I like to throw out a challenge to each and every director. As you all know, we have an obligation in this association. I'd like to challenge you all to recruit 5 new members this year. If Jason Harlow can attract 14 new members in 60 days, I think we could all just go around and ask some folks, are you a member of Cattle Raisers? That's all you need to ask. I had an interesting experience just recently here at Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, and I oversaw a conference there, and 3 of my volunteers were there just kind of asking me about Cattle Raisers, and I said, well, are any of you all members of Cattle Raisers? And they said, no, and I said, well, why not? Well, we've never been asked. Well, they had an application in their hands 30 minutes later, and they're all new members. So I'd ask you all, please fulfill your obligation as a director to this wonderful association by recruiting 5 new members. And if there are any members of the Association Promotion Committee and the RAP team here, if you wouldn't mind please standing, I'd like to recognize these wonderful volunteers. This is one hard-working committee, and these folks dedicate their time and their effort to attend all of our association activities. So if you wouldn't mind standing so you could be recognized. It's been a pleasure working with all of you. And I'm excited to announce that I will be handing the reins over to Mr. Cody Fry. You're going to do a great job, no doubt. I'm really excited to see what this year holds for you. Well, I appreciate you saying that. But I'm really, and I'm equally as excited to announce the vice chair for this year coming up is Mr. Wayne Cockrell. So I have no doubt that Cody and Wayne are going to do a fantastic job. And again, appreciate you all for your support and just continue to ask people to join our wonderful association and support our way of life. Thank you.
You all heard Kelly. We talk about this all the time. It's up to us to recruit new members. They're out there. We all know them. Please help us, because I'm seeing it now with these efforts, and whether it's Austin or Washington, membership matters. And I mean, I think it's out there. We just have to reach out and get it. And Kelly's challenge for five members from each director, it's totally attainable. So I hope y'all will come to that call and help us. We're now going to hear an administrative report from Jason Skaggs.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's good to see y'all here in Fort Worth. We're excited about this convention that we've been working real hard to plan, and wanted to just give you a quick update on a few things. I think y'all have all been getting hopefully been getting the monthly updates on our ongoing IRS audit, and we've been working real hard on this. We don't like working on it, but we're working real hard on it. And I can assure you that the executive committee, our new finance and audit committee, as well as the officers, have been spending quite a lot of time on this, particularly working with a lot of our outside counsel to respond to the IRS in an appropriate and timely manner. We have a response due by April 19th. Prior to this meeting, the executive committee met and took action to officially send that response in. Again, it has our full attention. We're anxious to get it behind us so we can focus on some other things. But we'll keep you posted as this thing develops. It's going to take a little while, I think, yet for it to play out. But we want to be real transparent with y'all and hit this head on. So we'll be continuing to update you all through the monthly mailers on how this thing's going, and certainly call if you have any questions. We'll be around to talk about that. Now, I guess the more fun things, we have been very, very busy. We've been working a lot on, obviously, had some transitional things take place. I personally want to thank Eldon for all that he did for the association, and certainly for me, and I really appreciate that. The staff has been working real hard on a number of issues, really looking at every aspect of the association from an internal perspective, external perspective, and leaving really no stone uncovered unturned. So if there's any staff in the room right now, I just want to recognize everybody, not individually, but they have put in a lot of hard work, and you know, change is hard. Transitions can be tough, but the staff has really embraced all of this, and particularly me. And so they put a lot of hard work into this convention. And so I'd just like if there are any staff in the room, to please stand up so we can give everybody a quick round of applause. I don't see anybody. You'll see some familiar faces and maybe some not so familiar faces. So we'll be introducing those to you as we go. Lastly, I would just say that it is our mission to continue to make keep this association a leader in everything that we do, and we're all working on that mission. We're all trying to pull that wagon the same direction, and I can't tell you how appreciative I have been of all your support. And we've got a lot of challenges ahead of us, as y'all well know, and we're going to be working real hard to put our best foot forward and represent you and all of our other members in a way that makes everyone proud. So if you ever need anything, please call us. We're open for comments. So thank y'all.
We're now going to hear from a few of our guest speakers with our partners at National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Cattlemen's Beef Board, and the Texas Beef Beef Council. We're going to start with NCBA President Jennifer Houston. Jennifer grew up on a Hereford farm in West Tennessee and graduated in animal science from the University of Tennessee. She and her husband, Mark, own and operate East Tennessee Livestock Center in Sweetwater, Tennessee. We're pleased to have Jennifer with us today to give us a report on the activities of NCBA. Jennifer?
Thank you.
Is that in your way?
No, I'm fine. Thank you very much, Bobby, and thank you, Jason, both of y'all, for the invitation to be here. I'm really excited to be here. Being in Texas is sort of like being at home. I'm proud, and it's a privilege to serve as president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. So when I come to Texas, I like to tell my friends that, you know, there might not have been a Texas if there hadn't been a Tennessee. So for those of you that are maybe challenging your colors, this is UT Orange. But it's the University of Tennessee Orange. So we didn't do so hot last night in the basketball arena, but we're still proud of them, and we're happy to be here. So, again, Eldon, congratulations. I enjoyed working with you the last several years and look forward, Jason, to working with you in the future. And, of course, Bob McCann, privileged to serve on the officer team with Bob a couple of years ago. So very well-deserved to both of you all. Bobby told you a little bit about myself. I did grow up in West Tennessee and showed Hereford cattle, and we had hogs and we had horses, and went to the University of Tennessee. That's where I met my husband, whose family was in the livestock auction market business. His dad established East Tennessee Livestock Center in 1962. So after we graduated and were married, some things happened, but I ended up going into that full-time about 1987 when my children were born. My husband Mark and I have two children. They both are a little bitten by the ag bug, especially my daughter. She is a lobbyist in Washington, D.C. with the American Seed Trade Association. My son is getting his doctorate in biosystems engineering at the University of Tennessee, and that's probably all you're going to hear about that from me, but it's very impressive, and I'm very proud of him. So I wanted to tell you today a little bit about NCBA, and just on a very broad strokes and to bring you up to date on some of what we're doing. NCBA, as most of you know, a lot of you know, we have a very complicated system in the industry, but it basically has two halves. It has a policy half, and it has a Federation of State Beef Councils. So I like to follow both the people and the money. And to serve NCBA on the Federation of State Beef Councils, you come from the Texas Beef Council. And that's how you get to there. To serve on the policy side, you come from an organization such as TCSCRA and serve on the policy side. And sort of we work together, but in ways never the twain shall meet, especially when it comes to dollars. Your state beef council chooses to voluntarily invest in the Federation of State Beef Council. And just like it can't be used, the money can't be used, the federal money, for anything but promotion, research, education, and industry information, that's the way the Federation uses it. And then the policy side is supported entirely by membership and dues dollars. So we're very proud of the way our system works. We work together very well. But some people get a little mixed up about where the money goes and where the people go. So that's a little bit about NCBA as a structure. And also, to further complicate things, NCBA serves as a contractor to the Beef Checkoff. And I'm not going to get very deep in this because Chuck Coffey's going to be talking to you about some things that the Checkoff does. But as a contractor to the Beef Checkoff, we submit ARs for things that that according to the long-range plan, needs to be done in the beef industry. So I'm just going to briefly mention the most exciting thing that I think we've had in years is the artificial intelligence of Chuck Knows Beef. Again, Chuck may mention it, the other Chuck. Alisa and Colin will have a session tomorrow that will talk about it more. But it's really the cutting edge of how to tell our consumers about our project, about our product, how they can use it, what's its nutritional value, what's the sustainability of it, what's the antimicrobial use. So Chuck's able to draw from anything that's on the Beef It's What's for Dinner website, which used to be multiple websites, because when I first started out in the checkoff side of things, consumers really just wanted recipes. Just give me the recipes, that's all I want to know. But that's certainly changed over the last many years. Now they want to know how their cattle are raised. They want to know nutritional aspects. Did they have good lives? You know, were they on grass? All this type of thing. So we as a contractor have changed that website to where you can get, basically it's a one-stop shop, whether you're a consumer, a retailer, a processor, or whatever. We also work in issues management, monitoring issues that are going on in the beef industry and what level of that people are talking about the different issues, as well as a lot of foundational research, which is certainly coming into play as we go in and we need to find out and be able to tell our story and defend what we do on the land. So we had to have basic foundational research on things such as sustainability, basic foundational research on nutrition so that we can go into the dietary guidelines with facts behind us, not just what we feel went on. So that's a little bit about the checkoff side of NCBA. So we're going to switch to the policy side. Again, all of this is funded by dues dollars only. We got a really, and it's already been mentioned, I think, by Bobby or Jason, when we got a really big job ahead of us. We've got a lot of new members of Congress. Colin's going to tell you a little bit more about it, and they know nothing about our business. We've said that for a long time. Well, we're two generations removed from the farm. Some of these people, I think, are as far from the farm as they are from the moon. I mean, so you have to educate people before you can advocate, in my opinion. And so we're going to be up there next week. Some of y'all are going to be able to join us. I hope more of y'all will come up. I think you also come up in June to talk to your legislators, to let them know how important this business, the beef business, is to the whole U.S. on all the different fronts and all the different issues. So when we were together in New Orleans as NCBA, we came up with the policy priorities that we're going to really work on and basically the marching orders for Colin and in the D.C. office and all of his staff. And the first one of those was trade and market access. Again, you're going to hear more details later, but trade is so important to the beef business. You know, as Secretary Perdue said at the NCBA convention, number one, two, three, four priorities are all trade. And he said it sort of tongue-in-cheek, but it's not all wrong. Last year, 2018 set a new record of $8.3 billion. That was up over $1 billion from a record-setting 2017. Now, depending on the figures you use, but in the $280 to $350 a head of every fed animal slaughtered is due to trade. We talk about 96% of our consumers are outside the U.S., so it's an important thing. There's a lot of things going on. Our number one and two trading partners, Japan, a $2 billion market. South Korea, $1.75 billion, up 43%. Now, I would love to have that kind of return on any business I'm in. 43% since last year. And it wasn't too many years ago that they were riding in the streets. So what a difference the work that your checkoff dollars, USMEF, and the efforts that we do in Washington make outside of the U.S. Mexico-Canada, two of our largest trading partners, about almost a $2 billion market. So that's why it's really important that we've got to get this Congress to ratify the USMCA, MCA, to keep us to have that free access to those markets that have been so important to the beef industry over the last 20 years. Second policy priority, regulatory reform and implementation. We talk about, you know, the old WOTUS is gone, but you got to have a new WOTUS in its place. There is a new role unveiled, but we've got to be there to be sure that our activist people who won't like some of it won't prevail. We have to keep supporting the administration that this gives us clear vision on what is the waters of the U.S. and what is not as the old WOTUS rolls out. Another regulatory thing, hours of service. tremendous, tremendous problem. I know for some of you in Texas, but certainly out from the part of the Southeast I'm from and all over the fringes of the U.S., hours of service is something of tremendous importance to us. So we've been working on that all of last year. We'll continue to work this year till we find a permanent solution. We don't have enough hours. From my market, you can get to about Oklahoma City under the current rules, and that's all you would be able to do. Fake meat, something I've been working on a lot this year. We are in a pretty good place with the memorandum of understanding between the FDA and the USDA, but we need to be there to be sure the devil's in the details and how this goes on and how we want a level playing field. Consumer choice is fine, but we don't want things misrepresented or we don't want disparaging talks about our products. So we feel that with USDA having purview over it, once it starts in commercial production, anything on the label would have to be pre-approved, science-based, and it would be continuous daily inspection, just like our conventional beef products are. Dietary guidelines, it's that time again. 5 years rolled around pretty quickly from 2015, so we're in the 2020. They've started meeting, and thank goodness we have some sound nutrition research so that we can go to them and say, this is why beef needs to be part of a healthy diet. I think the comment period is open, Colin. I'm not sure till when. Please, we've tried to make it as easy as you can to comment. Comment on this about why beef's nutrition needs to be part of a healthy diet. Because you might think, well, who do dietary guidelines affect? They affect our school lunch programs and certainly our military. And then one thing we added after we were in New Orleans that was sort of the hot topic is basically opposition to the Green New Deal. Now, we can say, okay, that was a bunch of loonies up there, and they voted on it this week and all that type thing, but it has engendered a discussion, which we can use as an opportunity. Because of the foundational research that we have on sustainability, we can tell our story. We can tell not only are we not part of the problem, we're part of the solution. So it's a good opportunity. You know, everything that says challenges and opportunities, challenges present opportunities, and I think the Green New Deal certainly is one of those. Other issues that weren't really policy priorities, but we will be working on, sustainability, continuing, traceability, antimicrobial use, things like that. We continue to engage in industry meetings and issues on this. So to end out, I really want to talk about the strength of NCBA. And that basically is our state and national partnership. I think that's really what sets us apart from so many organizations. We have a partnership with TSCRA that we value. We work together with you well. We hear where you're coming from. We listen, and we hope that we add value back to you all. And not many people have that state and national partnership. So we really appreciate, Jason and officers, that partnership that we have with TSCRA. And as I go through this year, one thing that I noticed in traveling last year, whether we're at the local, the state, the national, or even the international level to a certain extent, there's a lot more that unites us than that divides us. And unfortunately, it's human nature to sort of concentrate and to think about what divides us, what we do disagree on. But I want to challenge us, as we work with other organizations and even amongst ourselves, let's focus on what unites us. Let's focus on what we agree on. Let your voice be heard, and let's move forward. Be involved. You're already involved. You're here. You're involved in your local, your counties, your state. I want to challenge you, just like Kelly did, to be involved in NCBA. We're working for you, and I say we as volunteer leaders, but more importantly, your staff, whether it's in Washington or Denver. They're out every day on the hill at the agencies while we're out making a living and doing what we do on the farm and ranch. And your dues dollars, I heard that too, they matter. Numbers matter when you go to Congress and when you go to the regulatory agencies. So I want to challenge you all. This is a great organization. 784 members is tremendous. Man, I'd like to see half of that be NCBA members or more. And I think we can do it. And I think there is a value that you receive. So, again, what I want to leave you with is together we accomplish so much more than we ever could apart. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer, and I think you can kind of get a snapshot of what NCBA does for us in the cattle industry, and we thank you for being here. Next, we're going to hear from Chuck Coffey, chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board. Chuck, no stranger to TSCRA. He's actually a member of TSCRA. He lives in Springer, Oklahoma, is a fifth-generation rancher who grew up in the Texas Hill Country town of Harper. He is a graduate of Texas A&M University, taught agriculture at Murray State College in Tishomingo, Oklahoma, eventually becoming the department chair. He then joined the Noble Foundation as a pasture and range consultant in 1993. Please help me welcome Chuck Coffey.
A little technologically challenged from time to time, and some of these look similar. Here we go, hopefully. It's always good to be back home. Got it on a split screen. Oh, well, we'll go with it like that. It's always good to be back home. I was raised here in Texas, Jackie Means. A few weeks ago, I was visiting with Jackie on the phone, and she asked me, you know, where I grew up, and I said, Harper, Texas. And she said, oh, my gosh, no wonder I like you. You are from Texas, you know. So anyway, we've kind of developed a neat relationship. Jackie serves with me on the Cattlemen's Beef Board, and she's the chair of our evaluation committee and does a yeoman's job. Are there any other Cattlemen Beef Board members in the room? I can't see with the lights, but I see somebody's hand back here. What about Texas Beef Council? If you would, stand. Let's give them a round of applause, because they work really hard to promote our checkoff dollars and to promote beef and to drive beef demand. You know, sometimes life throws you a curveball. Being from Texas, you never think you're going to move out of the state of Texas. I mean, if you're raised in Texas, you're a Texan. And I know how that is, and I know that feeling. And I went to Texas A&M University, and thank you. But I ran into a curveball. And this ball came at me pretty hard and fast. And when I saw it coming, I hit and swung and hit the biggest home run of my life. My wife, Ruth, is here with me today. Ruth, stand up. And for us, this industry is a family affair, because she's the president of the Oklahoma Cattle Women's Association. So we meet one another right now coming and going. I'm traveling with CBB, and she's traveling with OCW. And our kids are members of the local cattlemen's organizations, and they come with us to these events. And we just have a wonderful time supporting this industry. I want to show you a video here. You saw
Old
this
MacDonald
last year,
but had a farm. Well, technically, I guess. Old MacDonald has farms and ranches. And on that ranch, she has a cow. Well, 247 cows. But who's counting? That guy is. And on that ranch, he gathers real-time data about his cattle with one of these. Yeah, can't really beat the view. And on that ranch, he helps preserve our native grasslands and wildlife with integrity, perseverance, and an app. Ranch tools sure have changed. And over here, they provide care for the animal with a balanced diet and just the right mix of carbohydrates, proteins, and minerals. Pretty sure that means yum. And, of course, with humane handling here, safety testing there, and quality control everywhere along the way. Yeah, the These are the people and the places that keep Old McDonald running like new, where commitment and innovation help make sure beef will always be what's for dinner, and maybe breakfast, lunch, and the occasional snack. Meet today's farmers and ranchers who bring beef from pasture to plate at beefitswhatsfordinner.com.
I always get chills when I see that video, and every time, and you can applaud the Cattlemen's Beef Board for contracting NCBA to put together that video, but that's some of the stuff we're doing and NCBA is doing for us with your checkoff dollars. And we feel it's important to promote that consumer trust and so forth, and we do this in this video. Most of this is out on digital media like your cell phones and computers and things like that, but a lot of us don't get to see this because you're not our market. You know, you're the choir. We're out there trying to reach that millennial generation, and that's our goal, is to bring them along and get, make them trust beef and want to eat it.
Old McDonald
had a farm. The five major areas we work, our program committees, which lines up with the long-range plan for the beef industry, are, I remember it by thinking SNICE: safety, nutrition and health, innovation, consumer trust, and export growth. Jennifer mentioned sustainability. I think about sustainability differently than the other 98% of the people who aren't like us. When I think of sustainability, this is what I think of. Ruth and I, fifth generation, our children all involved with our ranch, sixth generation. You're seeing the seventh one being held in my son's arms. You know, to me, that's sustainability, because we're the ones, you're the ones that take care of the land. But there's a lot of people out there that don't understand agriculture and what we do in our industry. So we've got another lady that works with NCBA named Dr. Sarah Place that's doing work on sustainability and promoting it to the other 98% of the public. From the standpoint of, you know, when I used to think about sustainability, I was taught at A&M it had three legs, and one was environment, one was economics, and one was social. And we didn't really focus too much, Jennifer, on the social aspect. It was economics mostly and environment. We talked about soil and plant health and water resources and recycling when a cow eats the grass and what that does for the soil and the health of it. But anymore, that's not good enough, because it's flipped over to the social side. So we've got to be worried about the social aspects of sustainability and how people view our industry. Well, Dr. Place has come up with a word that's called upcycling instead of recycling, and she's trying to teach the public that a cow can eat something that is not humanly edible and convert that into protein. She's doing a lot of work, you know, promoting the fact that, you know, today we've got a third less cows than we did 30 years ago. But guess what? We've got record beef supplies. You know, we're producing the same amount of beef today that we did 30 years ago with a third less cows. And, you know, people talk about feeding corn to cows and how that's not efficient. We need to feed that corn to people that are hungry instead of using it for ethanol and feeding cows with it. But do you know it would take 3 pounds of corn to meet the protein requirements of a three-year-old starving child on a daily basis? That's not physically possible. You guys have had enough nutrition to know that that's not going to happen. But you could put 3 ounces of beef with a little bit of corn and make that person's life a lot better. So we're doing a lot with regard to sustainability. Another one of our contractors, the Meat Export Federation, Greg Haynes is here. Greg, stand up. Everybody take a look at Greg Haynes. They're doing a yeoman's job with our export markets. Probably we're Greg, going to, for 2018, be right at $8.5 billion worth of exports, maybe a little bit under that, but that's billion with a B. And that amounts to $320 per head fed here in the U.S., Jennifer mentioned these countries that we're exporting to, you know, our major value market, and Greg speaking today, or have you already spoke, Greg? After this, go listen to Greg and see what your checkoff dollars are doing and see the success that the Meat Export Federation is having with those dollars. But you'll probably see this in Greg's slide set, but, you know, Japan amounts to a little over $80 of that $320 value per head fed. Korea, $66, $67. Korea's kind of an interesting place. They struck a deal in South Korea with Costco where we've got an exclusive market for U.S. beef in South Korea. That's a big deal, a real big deal. Taiwan's stepping up to the plate, and we're starting to export a lot more. In fact, my wife and I are going to take a trip with Greg, with the Meat Export Federation, and here in about 3 or 4 weeks, we're gonna travel to Taiwan and Tokyo to try to promote your product. Exciting things happening there. As you said, Jennifer, I'm not Chuck. Not this Chuck. This Chuck has artificial intelligence, and he's pretty smart. And that's not me. But I wanted to show you a little bit more of what this is.
Meet Chuck Knows Beef. He's the artificial intelligence that knows all things beef. And he's been busy at ChuckKnowsBeef.com, giving folks much-needed confidence in what's for dinner. Beef, that is. He's also made himself right at home on Home Assistance.
Hey, Google, activate Chuck Knows Beef.
I'm Chuck, your all-knowing beef expert, powered by Google Artificial Intelligence.
He's made some influential friends.
All right, guys, my friends over at the Beef Council sent me a fun little box.
I'm here with Chuck Knows Beef.
Open Chuck Knows Beef.
Open Chuck Knows Beef.
So far, Chuck Knows Beef has been pretty popular. And he's just getting started. Because with artificial intelligence, every question asked makes him smarter.
Chuck, do you have any vegetarian recipes?
All of our beef dishes are made with 100% vegetarian cows.
Maybe a little too smart. Let's make 2019 the year of Chuck.
Isn't that neat? Now, I don't know. I don't have an Alexa in my home. I do, Jennifer. I was given one a few weeks ago. But I haven't hooked Chuck up yet because Ruth said one Chuck in the house is enough, and so we'll see if we can get that going. But it's a tool that the younger generation, they're using this kind of stuff, and so it helps them learn how to cook a garlic meat beef meatball, or you know what temperature to cook a steak at if they want it medium rare. All you have to do is ask the little machine, and Chuck will tell you what you know to cook it to 125 degrees if you want it to be rare. Some other things that we're doing. I'm having a hard time with this, aren't I? Here we go. Another one of our contractors, the North American Meat Institute, is promoting beef in a little bit different way for us, and they've come up with a Texan beef shi roll, or kind of like a Texan sushi roll. Take a look and see what they do. You know, there's a lot of us that probably wouldn't eat sushi, but I bet you would eat beef shi because that's roast beef over rice with a little vegetable in it. What a neat deal, huh? So I'm pretty proud of the things that are going on. The other thing, too, that we're learning is that the more aware our producers are of the checkoff, the more likely they are to be supportive of what we're doing. And there's the Cattlemen's Beef Board is a contractor of itself, too, and we do producer communications, and we're trying to get the word out to the choir, to you guys, through a new venue called The Drive. If you want to go online to mybeefcheckoff.com and look this up and get on the mailing list or look it up on the computer, we'll have, you know, 6 to 8 issues come out every year, maybe monthly, depends on what's going on, I guess. But it tries to keep you informed of how we're spending your checkoff dollars and allow more transparency to the producers, because we know if you know what we're doing, you're supportive of that checkoff dollar. There's also on the back table, I brought a bunch of these little bulletins, and it highlights each of those program areas and things that are going on at the checkoff with your dollars, and I would appreciate it if you would pick one of those up. And, you know, anytime you get interviewed by whoever, Ron Hayes or something like that, if you're carrying this around, you can look and get some quick facts about what we're doing with the checkoff. And then I would be remiss, this isn't the Red River rivalry by any means, but Oklahoma had a neat little thing that they've come out with where we contracted Stephen Adams to promote beef. This wasn't part of the Cattlemen's Beef Board. We do have oversight. You know, there's like, what, $80 million checkoff dollars that come into the system, of which we have oversight of. We deal directly with half of those dollars. And then Texas, bless your hearts, I'm so proud of you for getting an additional dollar that I don't even have oversight over, which that doesn't matter. But, you know, you see it as an important thing to do to get out there and promote your product, because if you don't, we won't have anything to promote. But this is something that's been a big hit in Oklahoma, and I would be remiss if I didn't tell you, when I first heard about them doing this, I think a little bit differently. I'm kind of old-fashioned. And I said, you want to take a 25-year-old man who's just a big kid, who's like 7 feet tall, bounces around a little basketball, throws it through a hoop, has tattoos all over one arm and long hair, and have him promote our product. And that was kind of my thought process, Jennifer. But, boy, was I ever wrong.
We put Oklahoma City pro basketball player Stephen Adams on the back of a pickup truck and asked him to tell us his favorite meal.
Man, I ate beef all the time. Like, I ate smashed steaks. Like, you know, all the time, man.
Packed with protein while providing other essential nutrients like zinc, iron, and B vitamins, beef gives your body everything it needs to perform at a high level.
I just smash them because they taste really good.
So be like Stephen Adams and smash steaks.
Beef, it's what's for dinner.
Now, I did have some input here because they were trying to get him to learn how to say dinner. And I was like, why? He's Australian. Let him say dinner. And then put an ad up that says, beef, it's what's for D-I-N-N-A, dinner. And it's been a huge hit and a huge success for us in Oklahoma and really nationwide, because ESPN picked this up and showed it, and that didn't even cost us anything. So that was a pretty neat deal. So with that, man, we're here to try to promote your product. If you've got any questions, get a hold of any of your Beef Council members, your Cattlemen Beef Board members. Get a hold of Bobby and have him hunt us down or something like that. But we've got passion about your product, and we want to do the best job we can to spend your dollars in the most wise manner to promote beef and increase beef demand. That's what we're about with the checkoff, is increasing beef demand. So with that, I thank you.
Thank you, Chuck, and thank you, Jennifer. It's great to hear report what our national group is doing, and I think that should resonate with all of us in here as to how important it is for ag people to pull together like never before. We've got a great story to tell. No one's going to tell it but us, or someone's going to tell it besides us, and it's probably not going to be right. To Kelly Sullivan's point, we need to get out and recruit more members and tell our story. It's a great story. We've got a great product, and I appreciate NCBA being here today to help us. With that said, we're going to go into the Texas Beef Council. Executive Vice President Richard Wortham's up here to talk about what they do. They've been a great partner to TSCRA, and what they do for the beef industry is just incredible. Year in and year out, Richard and his team do a great job. Help me welcome Richard Wortham.
I'm not going to let you off quite as easy as Chuck did, but I want all the current, past TBC directors, Texas Beef Council directors, any current or past CBB directors to please stand. You're not going to get away with raising your hand, so please stand. So I want everybody to see who are the men and women that make the decisions on behalf of the beef checkoff programs. I will tell you, and these are decisions that are made not only at the state level, but the national level. And when you look around the room and you see the quality of the people that TSCRA sends, we have truly been blessed. The industry has been blessed to have people that are passionate about the industry. And so I'm going to try to get out of this, Chuck. And if you're technology challenged, I am double technology challenged. So we'll see where this goes. The other thing I would say while I'm pulling this up, Jennifer, that really is an orange. That's Tennessee orange. This is really the more burnt orange you're looking for. Not so much for my Aggie friends out here. But that's the only difference. All right, let's see if we can get this done here. Yeah, good. Congratulations, Texas Tech. There we go. You'll never see me do that again. All right, I don't know. All right. Jeez, don't you love it? Let's see. There we go. All right, that was not easy for me, I promise you. I think what you heard earlier between Chuck and Jennifer, in a roundabout way, what they're talking about is a state-national coordinated program. I can tell you we cannot do the things that we do in Texas, and even though we have an additional dollar, we can't do the same things without that support from the national program. I'm really pleased to see that y'all have taken the time to have a diverse group of speakers here talking about the checkoff, because we each play our own unique segment. But at the end of the day, we're all focused on one thing, and that's helping increase beef demand for your product, not only here in Texas, but the United States, but in the global marketplace. You know, when I had the opportunity to visit with you in Bastrop, I think at your fall board meeting, I told you at that time we were just getting ready to introduce our first ever digital video series called BarberQuest. And while we didn't have all the numbers in, we were excited about the opportunity. These are four segments that run 22 to 25 minutes long. And what they do, looking at barbecue places in Austin, San Antonio, Houston, and Dallas, featuring renowned chefs, prominent pit masters, but the star of the show is beef. I'm going to show you some of Barbecue Quest metrics here in a little bit, but I also want to let you know that over the last 3 or 4 months, we've had interest from Hulu, and I will tell you, as of March 1st, Hulu is now streaming BarberQuest, so we're really excited about that. So if you weren't in Bastrop, I'm going to show you a little bit of a video teaser to kind of give you a look and feel of what the BarberQuest campaign might look like.
I'm Kelsey Pavilski, a barbecue enthusiast and native Texan. I'm crisscrossing the state in search of local flavors and secret menu items.
Any idea where we should start?
I have just the place.
Y'all ready for some Texas barbecue?
Yes! All right.
This steak, when you take a bite out of it, You're going to know you're eating a steak.
We got this off-the-menu thing right here.
With the help of some renowned chefs and prominent pitmasters, there's no telling what we might find.
All right, so let's look at some of the metrics. I know this is a really busy slide. I'm not going to go into everything. But the one thing that jumps out right at me is if you look at minutes watched, over 3 million minutes watched a Barbecue Quest. Now for Chuck, That's over 6 years of watching BarberQuest, and that's a lot of BarberQuest to watch. If you add up the total media impressions, more than 120 million impressions. And so if you think about BarberQuest, is four segments running 22 to 23 minutes long. It experienced about a 30% completion rate. And you're probably asking yourself, well, how do you put that into context? And so let me help you with that. Typically, people spend about 1.7 seconds on their mobile device looking at things. On your desktop, about 2.5 seconds. And on YouTube, they seek peak engagement in most cases, under the two-minute mark. So a 30% completion rate of a 22 to 25-minute segment, I think, is fairly impressive. So you're probably sitting there asking yourself, well, that's season one. Well, what's next? And for all you Aggies, the most obvious question is BarberQuest season two. So, sorry, Dan, couldn't help but resist that. We'll begin filming season two next week, I believe. We'll be in the Big Bend, Marfa area. We'll go to the Texas Panhandle. We'll be going to the Rio Grande Valley, and we'll finish up in the Hill Country. So we're excited about the opportunity to tell more Texans or more consumers about beef, and certainly the BarberQuest series has done a good job of helping us get that out. So as we launched Beef Loving Texans about 4 years ago, we've taken the time to talk to you about that journey. And when you think about the brand of Beef Loving Texans, we've also executed what we would call a campaign under that brand since 2015. And those campaigns would run anywhere from 12 to 18 months. Most of you in this group should recognize when we launched the campaign what makes you a Beef Loving Texan. We were very fortunate to work with three of your members to help be TV stars in those segments. And really what makes you a beef-loving Texan was really about Texas values, pride, raised on respect for neighbors, family, land, and food. And so in 2017, we executed the campaign Only in Texas. And that campaign says that only in Texas do we define family not just who you share your name with, but who you share a steak with. And earlier this month, on I think March 1st, we launched our third campaign under the Beef Loving Texans brand. It's called For All Plates of Life. And I think For All Plates of Life really fits in very nicely to really everything that we execute on your behalf at the state level. And so I want to share with you some of the things about this campaign. And again, I think as we think about it, and when you think about beef, and whether you're talking about all plates of life or all stages of life, we know that beef plays an important role in each and every life segment as we go through from birth to as we get to a little bit older in our lives and we understand the nutritional benefits of beef. So as we think about the all plates of life, I'd like to share with you some of the elements. The paid media and the content celebrates the versatility of beef as well as the diversity of the Texas family. From traditional favorites like smoked brisket to carne asada to some of the new school items such as braised Korean short ribs or beef marsala. But the most important thing as we extend this campaign, beef continues to be the star of the show. So as we began preparing for this year's launch, it actually began last summer when we began doing focus groups, and we did 9 focus groups in Austin, Houston, Dallas, and San Antonio to begin testing the creative direction, what would the photography look like, what would be the tone and the copy of the campaign, and really it, For All Plates of Life, actually came to life over the last 6 or 7 months. But again, through these focus groups, they want us to reflect the diversity in people and the food that really make up Texas. So on March 1st, we launched For All Plates of Life campaign. That'll run through probably fiscal year 2020. We'll have a 60-second video ad that will be playing in the Dallas, Fort Worth market, Houston, San Antonio, and Austin. I can't help but remind you that our target audience is not you. It's the millennials, the older millennial parents, 25 to 45 years of age. It'll also include statewide Pandora radio. We'll have a 30-second radio spot, and we'll have some additional things on YouTube pre-roll. So what I'd like to do as we think about this, I want to show you, and this is some of the photography that you're looking at right now. I want to show you first the digital TV ad, followed by the 30-second Pandora radio spot, and that's assuming I can get all this to work.
For all walks of life, talks of life, twists and turns and blocks of life. For all the city folk and country folk, really any type of folk. For all ages and pages and big and small stages. For all the wins and losses and yeah, all the bosses. What makes you a Texan isn't where you were born, because we're in this together, no matter the storm. When in Rome or in Athens or even Poteet, sounds kind of weird, but you are what you eat. For all the carne asada, steak marsala, smoked ribs and braised ribs, and all the big ballers on fancy plates and paper plates, heck, even if you're out of plates, no matter the spread, we'll make sure you're fed. For all plates of life, there's beef.
All right, let's see if we can get the radio spots play, and we'll be good.
For all walks of life, talks of life. Grilling on Friday afternoons of life. For all the tailgates and the awkward dates. And all you who sometimes procrastinate. Even if you can't cook, we've got your back, because we've got the recipes that make your lips go smack. For all the brisket tacos, fajita nachos, spicy bulgogi, and pot roast with gravy. For all plates of life, there's beef. Get recipes at beeflovingtexans.com, funded by the Beef Checkoff.
All right, so that's kind of gives you an introduction of that. And so I want to talk about a new project that we're working on, and we're going to call this one The Raw Truth About Beef. You know, for many years we've had the privilege to come to your ranches to be able to show, to tell and talk about with influencers what you do on a daily basis. They don't ever have the opportunity to experience the lifestyle that each of you do every day. And you've got a wonderful story to tell, and we've spent a lot of time taking groups to your operations and what those groups hear, what they see, what they feel. You can't replicate those in many cases. And it helps answer a lot of questions that they may have. But the one thing about that I do know about those events, they are impactful. But I do know that when you focus on just key influencers, you're missing a lot of other people. And so we know we're at the point where technology will enable us to reach more people. And while we can't reach every person out there, we can do a better job of trying to replicate those on-ranch experiences that those key influencers have. And so we have begun the project of Raw Truth About Beef, and we're in the process of developing a what we would call a digital pasture to plate. Our initial target audience will be health professionals as well as the culinary side of the deal. And as we know that there's a lot of moving parts to the beef production system, and so we had to kind of scale that down to probably five particular segments. But we think those overarching videos are going to give us the opportunity to tell your story to many and much more people. So as once we get through the filming, and it should be, and I think Victoria said it should be finished by midsummer, we'll have the opportunity for those culinary professionals, those diet health or health professionals, to go to this website and click on any or all segments so they get a better understanding of what you do on your ranches to raise a high-quality, safe product like beef. The other thing that we're including in this is for those, many of those folks have to have continuing education hours. They will be certified so that if they watch those segments, they will be able to use those video views for continuing education. We've already completed what I would call the post-production or post-production part of the filming from as we look at the restaurants and the purveyors, some of the things at West Texas A&M. Next week, we will begin the what I would call the production side of filming. And I want to thank Coleman and John Locke for giving us the opportunity to come out to their place again. We'll go up to Throckmorton, and Donald and his crew at the R.A. Brown Ranch have been always very supportive. And then we'll go out to Happy and film at Kinsabi Feed Yard. So y'all be looking for this. We'll certainly make an announcement of this in the near future. But we're excited about that. And I will tell you, I'm as excited about that effort as much as I am about this effort. Because 4 or 5 years ago, we came to you and said, we have an idea. We have a project that we want to try. And it's much like the raw truth about beef. We think it has a huge upside potential, but we'll know more about that in a couple of years. But what I can tell you about the MD Outreach Program, it continues to deliver the results that we had hoped when we initially started it. For those of you who haven't heard about it, we're reaching physicians, cardiologists, internists in the large metropolitan areas, and we're focusing on those physicians that are seeing at least 300 high cholesterol patients on a monthly basis. And so as we think about this, and some of these numbers are a little old because these were year-end evaluation numbers, if you look at total physicians visited, and again, the purpose is providing science-based nutritional information so they can make better recommendations to those patients that do have high cholesterol, and we do know that beef fits into a low-fat, heart-healthy diet. So even though we're at a little over 18,000 physicians reached in a three-year period since October through, I guess, the end of February, we've added another 3,100 physicians, so we're up at over 21,000 physicians reached. But more importantly, it's the impact of the message and the science-based information. If we can get more and more of those folks that have high cholesterol moving to a bowl diet or beefing an optimal lean diet, and it helps reduce their cholesterol, we know that they're more apt to stay on that diet versus a diet that is devoid of animal protein. I'm not going to spend much time here. I know Chuck has talked about this. Jennifer's talked about this. We've got Greg coming up here next, and he'll get into all the weeds on this thing. But I will tell you that the Texas Beef Council, the Beef Promotion Research Council of Texas, has long supported the U.S. Meat Export Federation. The thing about 2018, it raised the bar to a new level. A lot of records set on a volume basis, on a value basis, on a return on what fed cattle bring. So it's been a great year, and it truly has been a privilege to work with the U.S. Meat Export Federation for many years. They do a wonderful job promoting your product in the global marketplace. And really, as we think about, closing this thing out, part of what we do in that partnership is with USMEF is talk about and help people understand the unique attributes of the USB product. And those are quality, safety, and consistencies. Chuck talked a little bit about this, but producers always ask me, I don't ever see anything, I don't ever hear anything. What in the hell are you guys doing? So here are at least four websites that you can go to get all the information that you'd ever want about the Beef Checkoff Program. Those top two, beeflovingtexans.com, beefiswhatsfordinner.com, are all consumer-facing information. And as Jennifer said, it's all things about beef, and whether it's recipes, whether it's cooking instruction, whether it's diet health information, a wealth of information that you're able to pull down off the Internet. The other two websites, TexasBeefChuckoff.com and MyBeefChuckoff.com. As a producer, you need to understand where your dollars are being invested. This is a great resource that you can, all you got to do is get on the internet. You can find a lot of good information. The Texas Beef Checkoff is really focuses more on what we're doing through the Texas Beef Council and the Beef Promotion Research Council of Texas, which is the state checkoff. And then My Beef Checkoff is the site maintained by the Cattlemen's Beef Board. And it'll give you a great overview of everything that's going on with the checkoff dollars at the national level. So with that being said, Bobby, I think I've said enough. I've at least got through the computer, the presentation without it blowing up. But the only thing I can tell you, and I'll close with this, we appreciate your continued support. We appreciate the folks that TSCRA continues to send, not only the Texas Beef Council, but also the men and women who represent you and us at the national level on the Cattlemen's Beef Board or the Federation of State Beef Council. It is truly a state-national coordinated partnership. So I would encourage you all, if you've got questions, this is the time to ask them, because you've got Jennifer here, you got Chuck over here, Greg's coming up, he's on the on-deck circle, and then you've got Colin and Kendall here from the policy side. So if you can't get your questions answered or asked this today, then shame on you. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard, and the continued good work they do at the Beef Council. At this time, I know you all have seen on the news what's going on in Nebraska, and those guys are having a hard time. It is, John Means reported today, it's, I guess, what, the worst disaster in modern time in agriculture? It really is a big problem up there. We're going to have a disaster relief fund kind of fundraiser at the Sunday brunch, but you can go to NebraskaCattlemen.org and donate to the Nebraska Cattlemen Disaster Relief Fund. So I hope you'll do that. I know here in Texas we've had fires, we've had hurricanes. I know what those guys are going through, so think about them and certainly keep them in your prayers. Lastly, many of our sponsors have invested significantly in TSCRA. I would ask you to look in your handbook and find their booths in the expo and go up and thank them. We can't do this without them. And really help me thank them for what they do, our sponsors. The next meeting of the TSCRA Board of Directors will be June 13th to 15th at Moody Gardens in Galveston. Policy Conference, September 25th to the 27th on the Riverwalk in San Antonio. 2020 will be right back here, March 27th, the 29th. The expo is open, and welcome reception will start at 5 o'clock. Have a good weekend, and if there's no further business, we stand adjourned. Thank you all.